Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
This is the fourth lesson in our series concerning the question, does God have a plan for man to go to heaven? Or, what is God's plan for man to go to heaven? We've studied so many things together, and it's been so rewarding from my standpoint to delve into these very basic and fundamental truths that are taught in His Word. And for those of you who have been regular listeners to this show, let me suggest to you that now we have on our list of things that God has instructed us to do to go to heaven, we have three things. First of all, based on John 3 and verse 16, we have that we are to believe in the Lord, that our belief must come from the heart. And secondly, based upon John 14 and verse 15, we have written that we must have an obedient love. And the Lord said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And in our last lesson, we saw where the Lord teaches us that we must repent. We talked about two kinds of sorrow. Worldly sorrow that leads to death, and a godly sorrow that leads to life. And that godly sorrow leads us to be motivated to repent, that is, to change our life. To identify those things that are amiss in our life, those things that are different than what God would have us to be doing, and to make correction. And that correction must come from the heart. It must not just be an outward sign. It's based upon Luke 13 and verse 3. Now today, I'd like to study with you another item that the Bible teaches us we must be obedient about in order to be saved. To begin that study, I'd like for you, if you would, to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 32 and 33. Know that some of you have your Bible and are listening to this program in your home, and that you're following along in your Bible and these scriptures. So I'll give you a moment to get to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let's look together at verse 32 and 33. There are the words of Jesus, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, who is in heaven." So there, we see that the Lord wants us to confess. Write down, if you would, on your list where you have believe and obedient love and repent. Write down, if you would, the word confess. The Lord wants us to confess. In our society today, the word confess means, to many, to tell someone what you did wrong. To fess up, we might say. I know that in the Catholic religion, the word confession is used to show a procedure that is used for Catholics to confess or to acknowledge their sins before a priest. That's not what the Lord is talking about here when he says that we must confess. We must confess. We must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That must be a part of our belief structure, that Jesus is God's Son. Look, if you would, at a passage concerning this confession or this acknowledgement that gives us a little more insight on how the Lord wants that done. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, we get that information. Let me give you a moment to get to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there we see something more about this requirement to confess. Notice, if you would, in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth. So then it says it is something that is said, it's something that is audibilized, and it's something that comes from our heart. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you see, Paul talks about the source of that confession that is said. It must come from the heart, from the thinking process. What it is an acknowledgement. Then in our heart, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Let me ask you, will you be saved if you do not confess Jesus with your mouth before men? Well, certainly you won't, because we are to do all of the will of God. That God expects us to do all of His will. What then is confession? Confession is stating publicly that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, there's something else that we should consider in that subject, and that's found in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 15, 16, and 17. If you're turning in your Bible, turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Give you a moment to turn to that passage, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, 16, and 17. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So on that confession, that acknowledgement, that from the heart statement that Peter made that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and Jesus said, "I'll build my church on that fact." And certainly, we see that Jesus was pleased with Peter's acknowledgement or confession. And we know then that Christ would be pleased today if we make the same confession or acknowledgement. We see then through our study that one cannot be saved by believing only, that one cannot be saved by confessing Christ only, that one cannot be saved by desiring salvation only, but that it is a combination, a compilation, an addition of these steps that God gives us for salvation. So now on our list we have four, don't we? We have believe, that is based on John 3 and verse 16. We have an obedient love that is based on John 4:14 and verse 15. We have a repentance that comes from godly sorrow based upon Luke 13 and verse 3. And we have confession or acknowledgement that is based on Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Kind of exciting, isn't it? Putting together a list from the Bible on those things that God says saves mankind. Those things that it takes for you and I to be acceptable to God and be rewarded with an eternal home in heaven. A home that John, the 14th chapter, says that Jesus has gone to prepare for those who love him. He gives us that so that we'll have confidence. He gives us that hope so that we will have the strength to stand strong for the Lord in our life. And now we want to add to our list something else, and we'll start that addition through identifying that step in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 15 and 16. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. I'll give you a moment. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Let me ask you a question concerning those two verses. First, is salvation promised to those who believe and are baptized? Well, yes, it is. Second, in addition to believing, loving, repenting, confessing, is it God's will that man be baptized? Yes, it is. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Well, now, the subject of baptism has probably been discussed and had more words written about it than most any other subject religiously. Do you remember how we define Bible words? When we started asking ourselves, what does it mean to repent? We suggested that the best way to define a Bible word is to go to the Bible and see how it is defined. We know that in the religious world, there are many methods or modes of baptism. Catholics call sprinkling water upon a person baptism. There are those who put some water in a glass and pour it on a person's head, and they call that baptism. Then there are those that immerse a person completely underwater, and they call that baptism. What is baptism? Well, let's turn to Romans 6 and verse 23 and see what the Bible says. Anytime there's a great religious question, the best step, first step in answering that is, let's see what the Bible says. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, we learn from that if we do not receive remission of sins, that we cannot enjoy God's gift of eternal life. And that sets before us the importance of our study, doesn't it? Romans 6, verse 23, again. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." So we have to know how to get rid of those sins. Let's start our study on the subject of getting rid of those sins in Acts 2, verse 37. Turn, if you would, to the second chapter of the book of Acts. This will be quite a lengthy reading from verse 37 through verse 47, so let me set the context for you. Peter and the apostles had been waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had been in an upper room in Jerusalem. The Lord said, "You wait here until you get the power from on high." And the Holy Spirit descended and set on those men like tongues of fire. And they began, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out to preach a sermon to all of those thousands of Jews that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. And those Jews were from all over the world, and they spoke many different languages. But yet, as Peter and the apostles preached unto them the message of Jesus, they preached unto them in their own language. Certainly that was a miracle, wasn't it? The preachers had not been schooled in being able to speak foreign languages, but the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in the languages of the people who were listening. And they spoke about Jesus, and they convicted the audience of the fact that they had killed the Messiah, that they had murdered the one that had come to save them. And the crowd reacted to that. And they were cut to the heart. They were pierced to the heart. They were convicted in their conscience of this great evil that they had done. And they cried out to Peter and the rest of the preachers, "What shall we do? What shall we do to get rid of this great sin that we have done?" Then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, Peter starts to tell them, to give them the answer to that question. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, you've crucified him, and you've put him to death. God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand, that I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you have made me full of joy in your presence.'" Men and brethren, this is what Peter is saying to this audience. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God hath raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Therefore, there's the word. Therefore, here's the conclusion that the audience should reach in hearing the words that Peter and the other preachers had said on that day. "Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, "What shall we do?" And Peter said to them, get it now. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call." Did you notice what Peter said for them to do? Verse 37, they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, "What shall we do?" In verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Why, Peter? "For the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And with many other words, verse 40, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Let me ask you, did those sinners gladly accept the word of God that Peter preached to them? Did they gladly obey the command that he gave to them to be baptized? Let me ask you, were their sins forgiven at baptism? Certainly they were, Acts 2 and verse 38. Let me ask you another question. Did the Lord add to the church daily those that were being saved? That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Acts 2 and verse 47. There's only one valid baptism in God's will. That's identified in Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5. The eunuch in Acts 8, verse 35 through 39, desired to be baptized in water. And Peter took him down into the water and baptized him. What for? The remission of his sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. How do we know what the mode of baptism is that the Bible teaches? We know that from Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, where the one who was baptized was buried. Buried in baptism. Is sprinkling burial? Is pouring burial? Or is immersion burial? So as you add to your list of things that God wants you to do to be saved, and you add the word baptism, please understand that the Bible teaches that baptism is being buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you think that baptism is just an act of obedience that one does after sins have already been forgiven, you do not believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. Well, now then we have God's plan to be a member of the Lord's church, don't we? We're told in our society, join the church of your choice. But I would tell you that mankind does not join the church of the Lord. Mankind is added to the church of Christ when mankind is obedient to the commands of the Lord to get rid of his sins. Then God adds that person to the church. So if you want to be a Christian, according to John 3 and verse 16, you must believe. If you want to be a Christian, according to John 14 and verse 15, that love that you have for Christ must be an obedient love. If you want to be a Christian, according to Luke 13 and verse 3, you must repent of your sins. If you want to be a Christian, according to Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, you must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you want to be a Christian, you must be baptized in water. You must be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That makes you a Christian. That establishes the relationship that one needs with Christ for salvation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.